It's a privilege to be behind our pulpit once again today to offer you a message of comfort and hope and encouragement in this time of crisis. And I want to thank Ed and Jennifer Burns for making this possible today. You know, we are living in very uncertain times, as you know, for our world, our nation, our state, our community, and in this church, but we're going to get through this. I know, with the Lord's help, even stronger than before, and we are still united together in Jesus Christ. And we are still united together in our love for one another and support for one another. And I would bid you, please, and bid all of us, including myself, that we would keep praying for each other and encouraging each other and helping one another, and especially helping those in need around us who are less fortunate than we are and more vulnerable to this disease than others, and keep supporting our church, praying for our church during this time of crisis and the work that we do for Christ here at First Christian. You know, God remains on his throne. Jesus Christ is still at his right hand. The Holy Spirit still lives within us, empowering us and giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ. This too will pass. I'm convinced what a joyous Lord's Day that will be when we're all back together in this place, together as the First Christian Church family in this place to worship God and to praise him once again. If you need anything that's going on in your life, that you need anything from my help, please give me a phone call and I'll help you in whatever way that I can. Nair and I continue to pray for all of you, and we love you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this time now, Father, and what a privilege it is for me to stand behind our pulpit again, and a joy and an honor to be here once again to offer a message of hope and encouragement from your word. Father, I just pray that this crisis would pass, that we've been going through now for the last several weeks, that the pandemic, Father, would end. And Father, that you would protect lives and protect families, protect us and our families, protect our church family, Father, as we continue to encourage and help one another and pray for one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a great story of two generals who were fighting side by side during the Civil War, and the pressures of the battle were especially telling on one of the generals compared to the other. The one who seemed to have it all together said to the other who didn't, "Sir, if I were as frightened as you look, I would be ashamed to call myself a general in our nation's army." "Sir," the other general replied, "if you were as frightened as I am, you would have fled the field of battle by now." I think that's a great story to describe the day and age in which we live now. Life has an awful way of pushing us to the edge. And it's done that once again now with this crisis, this pandemic that we face. And this crisis demands our faith, demands our action, our attention, our courage. You know, just about the time we thought we had it all together in our country and the economy was running great and the unemployment rate was at a record low and everything was running fairly smoothly with all the bases seemingly covered in our nation, then this evil pandemic raised its ugly head. 151 countries, I've heard, read, have been affected by this pandemic, including ours. And especially in our society, we've been conditioned to believe that we could, with our technology and prosperity, buy or figure our way out of any crisis situation that we face or problem that we face. We're conditioned that with our high standard of living in our country, that's proof that we can get along just fine on our own. But invariably, like now, once again, we find ourselves once again standing on the edge with questions and doubts and fears that only seem to be multiplying as we fear the unknown. Answers only seem to disappear. Personal resources are inadequate for the moment. What can we do to make it through this fearful time? People are getting sick and dying every day. people are losing, have lost their jobs and are losing their jobs, and people are losing hope. Let's not forget that God will always bring good out of bad situations like this, like he did in Jesus' day. Many people thronged around Jesus, people who were disillusioned and fearful and suffering in their lives, and they came to him for hope, and all could become children of God and seize that opportunity that Jesus presented to them through his message and his person. And some of them did, but many others didn't. And it's the same today. People are coming to God, coming to Jesus Christ. I read where more people are coming to Christ online today than ever before, but many others aren't. In the text I've chosen for this sermon, it's in Exodus chapter 14, we see the children of Israel, the children of God, 2 to 3 million strong, standing on the edge of the Red Sea. And if you can imagine this picture, in front of them, in the far distance, is the promised land where they want to go to and finally find rest and peace in their lives. But behind them gather the dust storm and the clouds of Pharaoh's army and his chariots and his horses that are racing toward them, bent on revenge and bent on destroying them, and they're approaching closer and closer, and it must have been an awful sight for the Israelites to look back and see that. And God's message through Moses to his people at that time, at that great moment of crisis, is his message, I'm convinced, to us today in our crisis. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The sources of the Israelites' fear were at least twofold. Number one, they feared their past, with the chariots of Egypt approaching them quickly, and they're bent on revenge, and the Israelites know they have offended Pharaoh enough for him to change his mind about allowing them to leave. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. They had just cried out in distress to Moses. How often do we allow our perceived or real failures from our past bog us down in the present to be able to handle crises like the one we're facing today with courage and with action and with vigilance? And sometimes we get bogged down in our insufficiency when it comes time to step forward in our faith and to go and meet the crisis headlong, to handle it with courage. We can't sometimes, and Satan is a master at convincing us that we can't do it and telling us the lie that we're not good enough or we're not strong enough. And how many people have never accepted Jesus Christ because they don't think they're good enough to come to God, and they thought they had to somehow clean themselves up before God would accept them? Or how many of the rest of us are stuck on some kind of performance treadmill in our lives, and we're maybe trying to make up for things we've done wrong in our past? Can you relate to that? I can. We seem to fear our past, and here's another aspect that the Israelites fear, their future. With Israel, her fear of the future was awful concerning the uncertainty of going farther away from Egypt into the wilderness. Isn't fear of the unknown absolutely the worst? The fear of the unknown in this crisis today, the worst? You know, how long is this coronavirus pandemic going to last? Is it going to affect my family's health? Is it going to affect my health? Will it affect my friends? Will I lose my job? Maybe I've already lost my job. Will I ever get it back? You see, anticipating the worst can happen instead of the best. It's been said that if one could accurately predict what would happen during the next 3 minutes, that person would be an extremely rich person. It's true. But we can't. The only thing certain about the future is its uncertainty. And nowhere in the Bible are we promised that if we would just trust enough in Christ and do what he says that we are to do in our lives enough, then our lives as Christians are always going to be easy. They're always going to be comfortable. They're always going to be without surprises. We're learning and being reminded of that differently now. We know different from experience. And the chains of fear are obvious. Fear can paralyze. Many people are paralyzed today in their fear. It can discourage. It can make you sick. It can make you bitter. It can spill into the lives of others and negatively affect them. It can leave us shaking on the shore of some uncrossable sea. And where does the strength come from to get through that time? Where's the strength going to come from to get through this uncertain time now? It's not going to come from within us in the sense that we can manufacture that ourselves. No, it's beyond us. It comes from the awesome God of the universe, who is always telling us in reassuring ways, if we would just stop and listen. He's telling us, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be discouraged. I will sustain you. It's amazing when you read the Bible from front to back, you see and hear over and over again this message, do not be afraid, from God to his people. To Abraham, God said, do not be afraid. To Isaac, do not be afraid, for I am with you. To Moses, I will be with you. To the Israelites, through the prophet Isaiah, do not tremble, do not be afraid. To Jeremiah, do not be afraid of the wicked men of Judah, for I am with you and I will rescue you. To the disciples, Jesus said, don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. To those same men, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. To the women who came to the empty tomb after his resurrection, do not be afraid. To Paul as a prisoner on his way to Rome before he shipwrecked, do not be afraid, Paul. To the apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, where he had been imprisoned for his faith, Jesus is standing behind him and then placing his right hand on the terrified man's shoulder in all of his splendor and glory. Jesus said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. We can think that Jesus is a million miles away during this crisis, but he's not. He's here with us. He is standing with us, and he's got his right hand on our shoulder, and he is reassuring us that he has everything under control. Only he can truly dispel fear. And if God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? What do we really need to fear? Do not be afraid, my friends. And Moses tells his people, and I'm here to tell you today, is to stand firm in God. Moses tells the people, stand firm. Imagine how hard that was for them. Imagine, instead of letting them scatter in all directions in fear, in panic, Moses commands them to hold their ground and to remain calm. You talk about sheer panic like we see today with this pandemic. You talk about palpitating hearts on the part of those poor souls. When you stand on the edge like that, it's real tempting, like I said before, to run backwards or to run away from the challenges that we face. And again, we can run backwards into our old ways of handling things. We can break down and we can pout, or we can feel sorry for ourselves. We can cry, woe is me. We can try to go at it all alone by ourselves. Or we can run away. We can try to escape from the challenges of this day and the difficulties of this moment and just take care of ourselves. And there's Jesus right there with us, telling us and calling us and compelling us to go the only way that he knew and he knows, that we would show our love for him to other people, that we would deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow him daily, that we would live unselfish lives during this pandemic, that we would look around us and see those around us who need more than we do, who are in worse shape than we are. You see, we won't benefit from this on-the-edge experience as long as our lives are centered on ourselves. We won't change from our old ways of handling things. God's message to his people then is his message to us now. Stand firm. You hold your ground. Isn't the world full of people who are constantly running away from their problems and situations? from one job to the next, from one church to the next, and they're always looking for something better instead of staying where they're at and helping to improve and change their own lives and their own families and their own churches and communities. Listen, as you find yourself standing on the edge and you face this uncertain trial, maybe you're scared right now. Just be still. Just be still. Know who you are. You are a child of God. You trust in Him. You be courageous. Don't panic. And don't do anything foolish. And wait for God to act. And He will. This crisis will end. Our church is going to get back together again one of these Sundays, and we're going to be stronger than ever. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but there are some things that are absolutely beyond our control to change, and to worry about them not only reduces or takes away from our ability to handle them when the time actually comes, but it takes away our power, our strength, the resources that we need to handle it effectively. And more often than not, what happens? The crisis wasn't so bad, and we pray that for this crisis. What we thought would be worse, like we originally assumed, wasn't, and we worried and we panicked and we ran backwards or we ran away. What? For nothing. For nothing. For nothing in the sense of hanging on to God and His promises and trusting in Jesus Christ to go with us every step of the way. Would we not be afraid? Would we stand firm? And lastly, this morning, I want to give you this message that Moses gave to his people: to see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And we all know what God did on that occasion that was so miraculous. As the text says, how one of the angels who had been traveling ahead of the people withdrew and went behind them, and the cloud that was going before them went behind them in between the Egyptian army and the Israelites. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, the text says, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. And with the waters divided, the Israelites, remember, there's 2 to 3 million of them, they went through on the sea on the dry ground. And the Egyptians, of course, were finally allowed to cross also as they were pursuing, but they were thrown into confusion, the Bible says, this text says. And as Moses stretched out his hand over the sea once again, the water went back to its place and swept the entire army of Pharaoh away, and not one of them survived, the text says. You see, standing on the edge is an unpleasant thing. It's not very fun indeed, but it's also the best vantage point to see what God will do in those situations that only He can do. That's why He brought, I think, Israel to this point at this time. Why? To demonstrate His power to save and protect them as only He could. It is exactly when we are at our wits' end and we have nowhere to turn, and we think this crisis is never going to end, and we feel like running away sometimes or running backwards into our old ways, that we can see God at His best. Listen, God is in control. God is still on His throne. This health crisis will end. This did not take Him by surprise in the least, and it will come to an end, and we are never separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. I love this old story in conclusion. It's an old story, but a good one. A pastor had been on a long flight to his destination, and the pilot came on. There was a storm brewing off in the distance, and the pilot came on and said, "Fasten your seatbelts. We shall not be serving the beverages at this time as we are expecting a little turbulence. Please be sure your seatbelt is fastened." And then as the pastor looked around the aircraft, he could see the people were getting somewhat uncomfortable and getting fidgety and starting to worry. And then the voice came on again from the pilot, "We are sorry that we aren't able to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is getting stronger. And then the storm broke, flashes of lightning and wind gust, which picked up the airplane to higher levels and then dropped the airplane in terrifying moments. And the people were just shrieking and panicking. The pastor said, as I looked around the airplane, I could see that nearly everyone was upset and terrified. Some were praying. And then suddenly, I saw a little girl. Apparently, the storm meant nothing to her. She had tucked her feet beneath her as she sat on her seat. She was reading a book, and everything within her small world was calm and orderly. Sometimes she closed her eyes, and then she would open them and start reading again. And then she would straighten her legs, but worry and fear were not in her world. When all the adults were scared half to death, that child was completely composed and unafraid. When the plane finally reached its destination, and the people were hurrying off the airplane to get to their destinations, the pastor just had to come up to this little girl and ask her about the storm and how she had reacted to it, and asked her, why were you not afraid? The child said, because my daddy is the pilot and he was taking me home. He was taking me home. We are standing on the edge with this coronavirus pandemic now, but isn't it comforting to know that we have a heavenly Father who is taking us home to heaven, that this place, this earth, is not our ultimate home. And in the meantime, through this crisis and on into the future with our lives, Jesus Christ is with us every step of the way, and he's bidding us not to worry, to trust in him every step of the way, and to not be afraid, and to reach out in love and concern to those around us, including those in our church who are less fortunate, or maybe older people in our church who really need our attention right now, who need that phone call right now, who need that word of encouragement right now. As someone once wrote, remember, when nothing whereon to lean remains, when strongholds crumble to dust, when nothing is sure but that God still reigns, that is just the time to trust. Worry says, I don't believe. I don't think this is going to come to an end. I don't think all my needs are going to be met. And God promises in his word, I'll provide for all of your needs. And in all things, I'll work for the good of those who love me like you do, and who have been called according to my purpose. Worry says, I don't believe all of this is going to work out for my good, my benefit. And God promises in his word, and he always keeps his promise, that he is with us always, and nothing can separate you from my love in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this time now that we can get back to God's word and be reassured with hope and encouragement that you are with us, Father, that Jesus Christ is with us every step of the way, that we need not worry, that we need not panic, that we need not be afraid, that we would stand firm, Father, in our faith in Jesus Christ and remain united together as your church here at First Christian, Father, in our love for him, our love for you, and our love for one another. There's nothing that can break that unity, Father, even though we have not been together for worship here in this building for two Sundays now, Father, and possibly more into the future, Father, we're still united together in Christ. Nothing can break that bond. Father, help us not to be afraid. Help us to stand firm. Help us to wait and realize, Father, that deliverance is going to come. Our prayers are going to be answered. This crisis will end. That you would protect and watch over each and every one of us and our families and our friends, Father. That you would end this crisis soon, Father, that you would break its back and cause it to decline rapidly and to disappear. We thank you, Father, for your love, for your forgiveness, for the reassurance that you give us in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.